WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. House Speaker Johnson promises a new plan to keep the government running. Florida Republican Anna Paulina Luna.
We're not cutting deals with Democrats. We're going to work it out here. I do not believe the government's going to be shutting down, but you guys will see some great stuff. Very similar to President Trump's plan yesterday.
Even some Republicans voted against that Trump-backed plan yesterday. Richard Allen, the man convicted of killing two teenage girls in Indiana, has been sentenced to 130 years in prison. Reporter Max Lewis was in court when family members spoke.
Abby's grandmother spoke, and it was very profound because she was talking about the effect that this has had on her. She said, I will never be the same person I was before Abby's murder. She talked about that she has trouble sleeping.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve is keeping tabs on travelers as the holiday push kicks in.
About 2.8 million people expected at TSA checkpoints. That's busy, but not like setting a new record busy. Still, we saw some very long lines at checkpoints here in Seattle.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and the Department of Workforce Development have announced a seventh consecutive month of record-high employment. According to a press release, Wisconsin's labor force grew by about 7,200 over the month of November to surpass the previous record high set in October. Workforce officials say the state's unemployment rate has remained steady at just under 3%, staying below the national unemployment rate of 4.2%. The unemployment data is tracked by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reporting a growing positivity rate for norovirus cases. According to health officials, the highly contagious virus had a positive test rate of about 19% through the last week of November. That total was nearly 10% higher than the positive rate at the beginning of November. The University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus had also reported an outbreak of the virus during that time frame. The virus is commonly referred to as the stomach flu, and symptoms could include vomiting and diarrhea. The Barron County District Attorney says no criminal charges will be filed in relation to a fatal motorcycle collision in September. The crash occurred on September 29th at the intersection of County Highway W and 19th Street in Barron County. Authorities say the driver of the vehicle made a left turn onto 19th Street and cut in front of the motorcycle. A blood sample showed no impairment in the driver and speed was not a factor. While no criminal charges were filed, the driver was cited for making an improper left turn resulting in death to another. A Chippewa Falls nonprofit is expected to purchase a local motel and convert it into small, efficient apartments. Hope Village is set to close on the purchase agreement for the Indian Head Motel in January after the Chippewa Falls Plan Commission approved a conditional use permit to circumvent a minimum size requirement in the zoning code. The nonprofit is planning to use about 25 of the units at the motel for the efficiency apartments. After taking ownership of the property, Hope Village plans to begin renovations of the site this spring. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Jordan Love says he's good to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers holding practice this weekend, getting ready for Monday Night Football after suffering a knee injury in September and later a groin injury. Now, in late December, quarterback Jordan Love was asked how he's feeling heading into this week's game against the Saints.
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling a lot better physically, you know, not really dealing with any lingering injuries. So it feels good being out there, and, you know, it definitely helps being 100% and not having to worry about anything being out there on the field.
The Packers 13.5-point favorites over New Orleans. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight against the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Then tomorrow night, they'll be back home against the Washington Wizards. The Badgers basketball team hosts the Detroit Mercy Titans Sunday at 1 p.m. Badgers center Stephen Crowell on improving after a rough start to the season.
I just got to keep giving credit to my teammates and my coaches pushing me these past few weeks and just being coachable. I think it's the big thing. You can't point fingers. You got to look yourself in the mirror and just figure it out.
That's the Badgers Stephen Crowell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Bright and beautiful, with that fresh snow sparkling in the sunlight, as high temperatures today reach the low 20s. We slide quite cold tonight, though, falling to the single digits, meaning for tomorrow, high temperatures will only reach the teens. But it'll be partly sunny and dry the entire weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinere is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots.
Woot,
and now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee film and TV critic Matt Miller. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops in with new music and great conversation. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that the guy who is apparently running our government owns that used to be Twitter. It is time. It is time. It is the final day of our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. So go get your phone. Open the Civic Media app. This is the word you want to text this hour for $100 in cash. The word is cookies. COOKIES. Sure, they give us a long word on the last day. The word is cookies.
They gave
COOKIES. Cookies is the word for today. Text in cookies until noon, and you are in the running for $100 in cash. And then, of course, one of eight grand prizes, including a snowblower. We have espresso machines, some nice luggage sets, and robotic vacuums. So text the word cookies, COOKIES. This hour we are playing for $100 in cash. He joins us every Friday from the recombobulation area and also Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Always always wonderful to join you here on a Friday on Matinere on Air.
You've got some big stories on the recombobulation, Dan. Which one and where would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. We have had a bit busy week at the recombobulation area. We'll start with a piece that's been in the works for a little while here from a longtime contributor, award-winning contributor Phil Rocco, who wrote a terrific piece this week about shared revenue, about what was happening in Waukesha County. So Phil wrote last year when the shared revenue law was being debated. Phil wrote a extensively reported and researched analysis series on the law reforming the state's shared revenue program. Which was, you know, one of the biggest pieces of legislation that passed last year. And it was, you know, just very much long overdue. The state had been underfunding local government for really a long time. And it really got especially worse, you know, under Republican control during the Walker years, during the Robin Voss years in Wisconsin. And so with that reform bill, it was like, okay, we finally have some more state dollars going to local municipalities, local counties, whatever it might be. But I think what has been happening in Waukesha County over the last couple months is revealing the limitations of this law and revealing some of the criticism that was directed at Milwaukee. As Milwaukee was seeking to raise its sales tax as a part of this law, you know, it was, you know, as I was saying at the time, as I and many others were saying at the time, was this is a problem that every community in Wisconsin is facing and not just Milwaukee. And so to call this a bailout of Milwaukee, to call Milwaukee mismanaged and all of these different things that were levied at the city as this bill was being debated last year. Well, now Waukesha County is dealing with many of the same problems. So are people saying that Waukesha County is mismanaged? Are people saying that Waukesha County is needing a bailout? Not exactly. But I think it is really interesting to see what's going on there, because I think it is revelatory in what's happening throughout the state in just how the state is still sitting on this $4 billion surplus as needs in local municipalities are going underfunded. And so the Waukesha County executive, Paul Farrow, a Republican himself, earlier this fall tried to put forth an effort to raise the sales tax to address some of these budget shortfalls. And Scott Walker, former governor Scott Walker, stepped in to say that, you know, hey, we shouldn't raise our sales tax in Waukesha, blah, 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 all of these different things. And it killed the effort in real time there in October in Waukesha. But that is not stopping the problems that the county is facing. So after Walker killed that effort, the Waukesha County Board in late November unanimously passed a resolution urging the state of Wisconsin to provide the county with additional shared revenue. And so, you know, it sure is the type of scenario where, you know, it's just like the hot dog meme of, hey, we're all looking to find the guy who did this. And it was Scott Walker underfunding local municipalities when he was governor. And it was, again, Scott Walker killing the effort to raise the sales tax to fund critical services in Waukesha. So Phil Rocco really did a deep dive on this. I'd encourage you all to take some time to read this piece now at the Recombobulation Era and also available at civicmedia.us.
I am curious, Dan, as to why Scott Walker still has any influence here.
I think it's just the name recognition at this point, right? Because he hasn't held office in, what is it, Six years. He has not held office anywhere, not been on the ballot. He hasn't won an election in a decade, you know. But I think it's just on name recognition alone. And I think part of it is that in the Milwaukee's efforts to raise its sales tax for the county and for the city, the business community got on board with it too. So as the MMAC backed that effort in Waukesha, it's different because the Waukesha Area Business Alliance, I think I'm bungling that name a little bit, but they have also joined Walker in opposition to this effort to raise the sales tax in Waukesha County. So I think that is part of what's different about it too.
You know, the thing it's funny you're talking about these things now. When I worked for the city of Racine back in 2009 and 10, when Walker was coming to power the following year and the Tea Party was really taking form, these efforts to stamp down any sort of we fought and scraped and scrimped for shared revenue and any sort of funding for projects and told simply, yeah, you're not going to get it. Why not? You're Racine and you don't fit our milieu. You didn't vote for us. So sorry. And they tried to, and then they killed the sales tax raising back then too. And we tried to tell people it was one quarter, 25 cents on every $100 spent. And they were like, I don't care. Don't raise my taxes. And that was it. Mm-hmm. Lost two to one. And so reading about this now and hearing about it now, it's really frustrating because all we were trying to do was help the people. And now Waukesha is trying to help their people. And it just seems different because is it Waukesha? Is it because it's Waukesha? And they're still struggling though. They're still struggling.
And Waukesha is the wealthiest county in the state. And
really?
So the people of Waukesha have the funds to pay for, you know, is the highest average or median income in the state of Wisconsin is in Waukesha County. So they're, you know, the people of Waukesha County have some money that you could potentially tax here. But I think the part of what Phil Rocco gets into in this piece is that the problem with the shared revenue bill that was passed last year was not the formula used to kind of change the way tax dollars are allocated to local communities. That was one of the strong parts of the bill. What the problem with it was that it was still very stingy in the number of dollars that would go to these local communities. So overall, and I'm reading directly from Phil Rocco's piece here. So he writes, the problem with the bill came down not so much the convoluted formula used to allocate aid to counties, but to its relatively stingy financing. Overall, Act 12 allocated $68 million to counties in 2024. This is a fraction of what counties would have received under the old shared revenue system had it been revived and adjusted for inflation. It's also half of what counties would have received under the proposal made by Governor Tony Evers in early 2023. So this is part of it too. So like Evers put out this proposal for shared revenue. It brought so many more dollars to local counties, local municipalities than the Republican authored bill that was ultimately passed. And I think a lot of people, myself included, were saying, yes, we should pass this shared revenue bill, but to live to fight another day because we are going to fall off the cliff in cities like Milwaukee and around the state if we don't get some level of shared revenue back to local government. What I think the crisis that they're seeing in Waukesha County is revealing is that if we would have gone with the Evers proposal last year, that would have made a huge, huge, huge difference, and that many of these counties would not be looking to go to sales tax, or as we saw in the November election, so many places going to referenda to fund services, fund schools, whatever it might be. And so it again is showing that the problem, as it so often does in the state of Wisconsin, goes back to Robin Voss and the leadership in the Republican-controlled state legislature.
It's all about Robin.
I'm so shocked. It's Robin's $4 billion, and he knows how best to use that money. We only have a couple of minutes left before we got to go to break, Dan. But when we're talking about what are things that people that are going to impact people, what are because that's the only way that people can ever change their mind is if it directly impacts them. So when we're talking about these funding issues, what is it that folks aren't going to be able to get?
Well, this will go. So there are a number of services that counties are like mandated to carry out. And these are things like the courts and things like that, that are, it's just where the counties are like an arm of the state, right? The non-mandated services are things like public transit, libraries, parks, other amenities like that, that are critical to maintaining quality of life in a lot of these and across the county. And so like the county had to cut a few million dollars from its budget this year to deal with the fact that they were not able to pass this sales tax increase. The sales tax increase would have been like a 0.5 sales tax increase that would have brought in an annual amount of $50 million a year. And again, made it less reliant on the state for some of these services. But these are the types of things that people are not going to have when they continue to face cuts. It's just, you know, it's not a situation where people are, oh, you're going to have to do more with less. You're going to have to be more efficient. We've already spent 40 years hollowing out the public sector in this country post Reagan. And so like, where else is there to cut in a lot of these places? And you have, again, this is a Republican county executive who is proposing these changes.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political editor. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams was denied access to over $4 million in matching public funding for his 2025 campaign due to questions over an ongoing federal investigation and accusations of financial mismanagement. The U.S. Department of Justice filed charges against the mayor in September, charging him with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He is also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal these transactions, according to the DOJ. The New York City Campaign Finance Board ruled December 16th that Mayor Adams' request for $4.5 million in matching funds would be denied. The chair of the board said in a statement, "After thoroughly reviewing all available information, including the details of the indictment of Mayor Adams, the board has determined there is reason to believe the Adams campaign has engaged in conduct detrimental to the matching funds program in violation of law, including the Campaign Finance Act and board rules." New York City's campaign finance system provides an 8-to-1 match for small donations of $250 or less for mayor and $175 for city council. Such small donor financing systems promote transparency, discourage big money, and encourage less affluent candidates to run. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. 93.5 The Tap.
I'm discombobulated. Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer. Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget to text the word via the Civic Media app. The word to text this hour is cookies. We have a visual display. COOKIES. Cookies is the word to text in via the Civic Media app. And you are in the running for $100 in cash. And, of course, even if you don't win the hourly prize, everyone is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes. Snowblower, handy thing, robotic vacuums, espresso machine, nice sets of luggage. So make sure you text the word via the Civic Media app. The word this hour is cookies, COOKIES. Your next chance in at the 1 o'clock hour with Todd Alba, and then 4 p.m. with Dominic Salvia. He joins us every Friday from the Recombobulation Area, and Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, is here. Dan, let's move on to the Act 10 being deemed unconstitutional, although I don't know if you saw this, but Urban Milwaukee this morning just released ruling that struck down Act 10 put on hold.
Yeah, the rule. This is kind of an expected part of the process, though. So I think it is, you know, everybody had expected that this ruling would go to appeal and that appeal would end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So news this week on Act 10, but expected news. So I think this is not something that anybody should really be, you know, alarmed by, that this is, you know, ending the decision or whatever it might be. This is expected. I think it all along this case was inevitably going to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Just a reminder that that is going to be a key issue in the April 1st Wisconsin Supreme Court election that is coming up next year, in case you were missing campaign season in Wisconsin.
I really wasn't. I wasn't.
Well, you got, like, you know, I don't know, 11 more days before we're really back into the thick of it here. Yep. in January. Right. But I think, you know, so we ran a piece this week at the Recombobulation Area from attorney from Law Forward, Jeff Mandel. So really breaking down what the ruling on Act 10 means. And, you know, there have been a variety of challenges to Act 10 over the years on the open meetings law, on a variety of different fronts. But I think what this challenge what is different about this challenge, and what I think brings it a greater likelihood of being upheld by the courts as it winds its way through the process is that it challenges things in a different way, and it challenges one of the inherent problems of Act 10, which is that it treats two categories of public employees differently under the law and under the Equal Protection Clause of the Wisconsin State Constitution. That is what ultimately was ruled unconstitutional by Dane County Judge Judge Frost. So the key issue there is that it created two public employees in two groups: public safety employees who largely retained their bargaining rights and other benefits, and those who were deemed more general employees who lost those rights and lost some of those benefits. And, you know, from talking to Jeff about this piece, from reading his analysis that we published this week at the Recombobulation Area, I think this stands a better chance of being upheld than many previous challenges did, because of the inherent conflict there. So, you know, as this goes forward, I think that's something to watch. And I think that is one of the key problems. If conservatives and Republicans who back this law really back the changes, really back the way that this public policy is applied, then it should be applied to all public employees and not just the ones who did not endorse Scott Walker in 2010, yep. Because that is really the dividing line of what was deemed a public safety employee and who was deemed a general public sector employee.
Well, and the one thing that the Republicans like to tout about Act 10 was that it saved us billions and billions and billions of dollars. And I have yet to see any piece that shows where those savings, where did it go?
And that's part of the problem. One of the things is that they tout these savings, and it's always they reference these far right think tank groups like the McIver Institute, who just pluck these dollars out of nowhere. And part of it, I think, you know, just gets back to the conversation we were having about shared revenue in the previous segment. Like, if Act 10 was this end all be all of saving dollars for local government, for local communities across the state, well, then why do we have this? Why did we need the shared revenue bailout a year ago? And right. Why are we still seeing so many of these problems for local communities across the state? Like, if Act 10 was supposed to solve this problem, why are we in crisis a decade later for the very same problem that this was aiming to address?
And that is exactly the question that reporters should be asking these guys when they're going to be coming around again talking about how Act 10 was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and we have to make sure to elect whoever to the Supreme Court so they can... Because that's what it's going to be for the next couple of months.
That's exactly right. And I think that's part important to have these conversations and just to recognize what is happening on the ground here. You know, not only did it cause so many teachers to leave the state and find jobs elsewhere, it created all sorts of problems, cascading levels of problems that we're still seeing. And it has not solved the issue that it aimed to solve. And so for all that conservatives want to tout that this law did, why are we back at the table talking about shared revenue, talking about local government funding, talking about school funding, talking about teachers a decade later, if this was the thing that was supposed to, you know, be the fix for that in the long term? I think that's inherent to that. And I think it's going to be important for voters to make their voices heard on that in April.
Absolutely. We're going to be hearing a lot about this, as much as we would rather not. Stay with us. News is coming up next, and then we will keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, yep, we're global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
Open for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking, getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
The You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin travel officials are expecting a busy and possibly record-breaking holiday season. A AAA survey estimated that nearly 2.5 million Wisconsin residents will be traveling at least 50 miles during the busiest travel season of the year, which would break last year's record high by about 75,000 travelers. With the added travel and freezing conditions on the roadways, officials are warning residents to drive carefully, account for additional travel time, and give themselves some extra space from other vehicles on the road. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the launch of a new rebate program with the Public Service Commission. According to a press release, the Home Electrification and Appliance Rebate will provide instant discounts for low- and moderate-income households to install energy-efficient appliances. Officials say the program will help lower the cost of those appliances upfront and help struggling families reduce their energy bills long-term. The program received nearly $75 million in funding from the Inflation Reduction Act. The Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce and the City County Health Department have announced the launch of a new task force to address growing homelessness in the area. Officials announced the new task force this week following the fatal stabbing at the Dew Dodge Inn over the weekend, in which the arrested suspect was a known unhoused individual. The task force will evaluate the various factors contributing to the growing unhoused population and develop new programs across multiple departments and agencies to address them. The Rice Lake City Council has placed a time frame on a project to turn a former nursing home in the downtown area into affordable housing. The council approved an amendment to the development agreement requiring Movin' Out, the Madison company overseeing the project, to present quarterly progress reports and assume ownership and demolition of the site after 5 years from the start date of construction. Movin' Out officials say the delays are related to legal hurdles and due diligence in pursuing tax credits for low-income housing. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Jim Carrey was serious about retiring from acting until he wasn't. The actor told the Associated Press that he was going to retire, but bought a lot of stuff and needed money. Desperation is not a very good negotiating tactic, so I'm guessing that is why Carrey probably walked back his comments to comicbook.com, saying he was joking. You can catch Carrey in Sonic Hedgehog 3 in theaters December 20th. In Where Are They Now News, one of the lovable thugs in Home Alone was played by Daniel Stern. You might remember him as the guy who had maybe the greatest scream in movie history when Macaulay Culkin put the huge spider on his chest. Stern posted a video on Blue Sky showing what he is doing now, tangerine farming. He gave his followers a tour of his studio and fruit squeezing apparatuses. It was actually really cool. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Bright and beautiful, with that fresh snow sparkling in the sunlight, as high temperatures today reach the low 20s. We slide quite cold tonight, though, falling to the single digits, meaning for tomorrow, high temperatures will only reach the teens. But it'll be partly sunny and dry the entire weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 21.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Matheris stops by with a Friday edition of Tuesday Tangents with Luke and also our final day to win prizes in our Text to Win contest. Be here.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the final day of our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. The word to text this hour via the Civic Media app is cookies. C-O-O-K-I-E-S. The word this hour is cookies. We're playing for $100 in cash. Everyone who enters will be in the drawing for one of 8 grand prizes as well. Greg Bach, if people were interested in a bonus entry, what would that require?
Oh, sir, very, very simple. If you have never entered the contest yet this time around, you're going to enter now. You're going to download that Civic Media app, text the word cookies to us, and then Civic Media will then give you a response message, and it will ask if you will please sign up for the newsletter. Follow Matt and Air on Air on Facebook. Follow Civic Media on social media, which is a hard sentence to say, but basically give you a task. And if you take that task, you will get another entry this one time, but that gives you another chance. So Do it. What do you have to lose? Don't block us. Don't do all the crazy stuff that kids do. Just answer the call. Take that chance. Get that second option. Get that second entry, and you'll be in it to win it.
And you'll be glad you did. The Civic Media newsletter is fantastic, so I would highly encourage people to do that. It really is great. Our news team does a great job. Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area, and we're going to lighten things up a little bit. We're only 5 days away from Christmas. Kind of hard to believe. As a dad, Dan, are you dad ready? Is everything done? Are all the toys purchased?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No?
We're in pretty good shape, but we got a little ways to go. You know, it's always a lot this time of year. The girls are very excited. They're at just the perfect age to be enjoying Christmas.
Have they seen the Santa?
Yes. Well, yes. We took my youngest to the Domes last week. They had a Domes Santa event there. She sat on my lap sitting next to Santa. So that was That was the compromise of figuring out how to do it. But yeah, the kids can be really afraid of Santa.
Yeah.
Some of those, you know. Yeah.
He's a stranger. Well, he looks like me but older. Who wants to be around that?
That's all right. She was Santa lap adjacent. That was close enough. That's yeah. Absolutely fine. What are the hot toys? I'm just curious. What's really high on your Christmas list?
Yeah. So I have successfully brainwashed my daughters into being Bucks fans. So they were doing letters to Santa, and the first thing on my oldest's Christmas list was Bucks tickets. And I was just like, we did it. We have successfully brainwashed the kids into being Bucks fans, or at least I have. And so we're going to be, you know, we'll see if Santa leaves something under the tree to go to a Bucks game in the not too distant future. We're excited about
nice.
That.
Nice.
That would be exciting. So they've never been to a Bucks game?
Yeah, they've been to Bucks games, but I think, you know, they just, that was on their list. We've been watching lots of Bucks games lately, and they're just like, oh, I want to go to a game, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I'll put it on your Christmas list. We'll see.
Courtside Bucks seats.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've got lots of fun stuff ready. And I think, you know, we've got some, my oldest is also really into mermaids. So we've got a lot of mermaid stuff in the mix for this year too. So, you know, this is being a girl dad, trying to bring in some Buck stuff to mix in with Disney princess and mermaids and whatever, unicorns, all that kind of good stuff.
That's awesome.
That's a great blend. I like the Bucks and the mermaids. I think that's a great teaming up right there. So we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas music. And
yeah,
I understand that. Dan Schaefer, you are not necessarily a fan of one of Greg Bach's favorite Christmas songs of all time.
Let me rephrase that, Shane. I'm sorry. I know you tried to help there, but he is not a fan of one of the greatest Christmas songs ever written. Period. Exclamation
point. Okay. Okay. Some clarification here. So the song that we are talking about is The Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney.
Yes.
Which I'm not saying is not one of my favorite songs. I really do enjoy that song. I love the Beatles. But I have a take on it, which is that I think Paul McCartney forgot that he was supposed to record a Christmas song, walked into the studio, and just laid that one down and just had it ready. Yeah. Because here are the lyrics. Let's review the lyrics of Wonderful Christmas Time. The mood is up. The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. I think that Paul McCartney is such a prolific songwriter that he, you know, agreed to record a Christmas song,
yeah,
forgot about it, and then the day that he was supposed to go into the studio to record this Christmas song, because he is Paul McCartney, sat down at his piano, sat down and just... It's the same beat the whole song,
yeah,
right? It's the same thing the whole song.
Mm-hmm.
And the lyrics are just really simple and really could just the type of thing that Paul McCartney could just come up with on the top of his head. And that's what I think happened and created this Christmas song, Wonderful Christmas Time, one of Greg's all-time favorite Christmas songs.
It really is.
And I think he came up with it on the spot. This is my theory about Wonderful Christmas Time. What do you think?
Well, there are some theories that go on, Jane.
I absolutely go along with that, Dan. I can see him going, oh, Linda, what am I gonna if we're all together, that's enough. All right, let's go. I can absolutely see that happening.
Jane, I know you have a better Liverpool accent than that. Okay, all right. But
I want to hear it again. Once we're maybe off the phone.
there are theories that Paul McCartney stopped writing real lyrics somewhere in like 1971. Because, I mean, and also, can we ever accuse Paul McCartney of writing lyrics with great meaning, deep subtext? They've really run along the same. It's like, peace and love, I love you, we're together, you're amazing, love, love, Christmas time, love, and that's it.
But I just like, okay, just looking at the lyrics of the song, there's a big part of the bridge where he just goes ding dong for like a minute and a half.
And see, that's where
this song.
See, that's where I've always thought was when I was younger, I always thought that was such a call in, like, oh, you can't even come up with lyrics. I feel like you have to be such a confident songwriter to put that in there, or ooh ah, or doot doot doot. You're like, you're spending money burning tape to record a song, and you're like, no, we're putting ding dong in there because I'm Paul McCartney and you are not.
And it'll sell.
Yeah.
And it has.
It has.
And it has. And it's an enduring Christmas song that I enjoy every time it comes on. I'm not a huge fan of all Christmas music.
Yeah.
But I enjoy this one. But I just, every time I listen to it, I think about Paul McCartney going in and forgetting that he was supposed to record a Christmas song and just sitting down at a piano and coming up with this on the spot. And I would love, you know, there's all of these like Beatles documentaries and retrospectives,
yeah,
and stuff like that goes on. I would love a documentary about the recording of Wonderful Christmas Time because I think he just did it all on the spot. This is my theory.
Dan, I think you and I could produce this documentary.
And as far as Christmas songs go, Wonderful Christmas Time is actually pretty long. It's over. I want to say it's over 3.5 minutes long. That's long for a Christmas song.
Well, he had to say ding dong, ding dong, ding dong for a minute and a half in the middle of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got to be longer. Let's make it longer. Add more ding dongs. Greg, is there a Christmas song that you do not like?
Not really, because I kind of like, it's Christmas music, so if I don't like it, I turn it off. I'm not going to pay it that much mind. Now, Pat Kreitlow hates that song. He hates Wonderful Christmas Time, so I torture him with that song as many times as I can. But no, there's really not a song, because I still to this day, All I Want for Christmas Was You by Mariah Carey. I can hear that song 10 times a day during the season. I'm on it. I'm with it. I'm here for it. There's no reason to dislike Christmas music. If you don't like it, turn it off. But I don't see the point of complaint. Like, I can't believe they're playing Christmas on the radio. I'm like, I would just switch to another channel then. It's very easy.
And since you bring that up, I just want to mention this before we forget. On Christmas Day, actually on Christmas Eve, yeah, next Tuesday, from 4 to 6 p.m., our wonderful Pete Schwabba, who is the host of Nightlight, is going to have a special Christmas Eve show from 4 to 6, and then that is going to kick off to all Christmas music all across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yes.
Starting at 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and then all day on Christmas Day. So if you're going to be snuggling by the fire, opening up presents, I hope you will invite Civic Media along and listen to our Christmas music that's going to be going on all day long for everybody.
And if you are listening to Civic Media and you're like, where's the talk? Don't text us. It's just Christmas music all day. I can't wait to see the text coming into it. Why am I not hearing Earl Ingram, or why am I not hearing Jane Matinere? It's like, it's Christmas, baby. Taking a day off.
It's Christmas Day, exactly. So enjoy some nice Christmas tunes, starting again 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve, and then all through Christmas Day. This will be across the Civic Media Radio Network. Cookies, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to get this in one more time. Cookies is the word that you need to text right now via the Civic Media app, COOKIES. Text the word cookies via the Civic Media app if you haven't already done so. Then you're in the running for $100 in cash. It's all part of our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. Even if you don't win the $100, everyone who enters is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes, including a snowblower, would have been handy for some folks last night, robot vacuums, and some nice luggage as well. So text the word cookies, COOKIES. About 3 minutes left. Favorite Christmas cookies? Because we're going to do our cookie exchange, guys, next week.
Yep, next Tuesday.
Calvin, the pressure's on your mother.
Yeah.
She will come through. She was warned.
Oh, my God.
She's been warned. Excellent.
Hey, Calvin, can your mom make my cookies, too? Thanks. Thank you. Warn her, too, for my cookies.
That sounds threatening, you know.
Well, she was asked very nicely.
There it is.
Say.
There it is. Okay.
All nicely right. Warned.
Dan, do you have a favorite
I have one more thought on Wonderful Christmas Time.
Okay.
Just to keep hammering this. You know, I have a favorite lyric from this song.
Which is?
There's like 4 lyrics in this song, so it's easy to pick a favorite. Where he goes, we're here tonight, and that's enough.
But isn't it true, though, Dan?
It's true, but it's just such a funny, that's enough. We're here tonight, that's enough.
When you dig down,
that's good. That's enough.
When you dig down deep, Dan, you get to past all the mud and the muck and the blood and the rock of the soil. Try get down deep. We're just here today, folks. We're here together. That's all we need.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. This is the brilliance of Paul McCartney, that he can have a lyric that says, we're here tonight and that's enough. And it's profound, you know?
Well, but who knows, Dan, maybe this was his profound commentary on the over-commercialization of Christmas and therefore saying, we don't need prezzies. We don't need presents. We're here tonight. That's enough.
Wow.
We don't need this stuff.
Jane did it. Jane found the subtext. Jane found the subtext in a Paul McCartney song post-71.
Well, we're here together on Matt and Air on Air, and that's enough.
There you go.
That's enough. Merry, merry Christmas. Dan, you're going to be filling in for us on the 26th.
26th, that's right.
It's going to be fun.
So join Dan Schaefer next Thursday, and have a great holiday, Dan. Thank you so very much. We will see you soon.
You as well.
Stay
be well.
Close. We're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Ho Ho No edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the grown-up gift list text to win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have news coming up in just a little bit, followed by Todd Alba from noon until 2. Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. 4 to 6 p.m., Dominic Salvia, and then come Monday, Pat Kreitlow kicks off early from 6 to 8. Earl Ingram from 8 until 10. That will be on Monday morning, the weekend before Christmas. Here's the word. You still have about 8 minutes to text in via the Civic Media app. This hour's word is cookies. C-O-O-K-I-E-S. Text in the word cookies on the Civic Media app, and you'll be in the running for $100 in cash. The hours that we play, again, next up with Todd and then with Dom, either $100 up for grabs or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort. Everyone who enters, whether you win a prize or not, is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes. So good luck. Text in the word cookies. It is plural, C-O-O-K-I-E-S. And good luck for that $100 in cash, help you out a little bit right before the holiday. Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it is time for...
Ho, 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 ho! This shouldn't be a thing! Ho, 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 ho!
This shouldn't be a thing. Holiday edition, I know. Thank you, Todd Michaels. Really like that. Today, it is the Ho No edition of This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Headline reads from yourcentralvalley.com. You're an idiot. Man gets stuck in chimney while allegedly attempting to flee Massachusetts police. Fall River, Massachusetts, a man is facing charges after attempting to evade police by hiding in a chimney and then getting stuck in there. Detectives were executing a search warrant at the home when two men reportedly fled trying to evade arrest. One man actually did manage to get away. He jumped off the roof onto a parked car. Unfortunately, his buddy, 33-year-old Robert Langley, chose a different option and wound up wedged in the chimney. In a message Police said Langley invoked the essence of Santa while seeking a place to hide. Unfortunately, he quickly got stuck there and then had to ask for help from the very police he was fleeing from because he was trapped in the chimney.
Oh, my God. I was like, you're an idiot.
Yes, one of the officers immediately said to the suspect, you are an idiot. It was on his body cam. They actually had to break the chimney apart in order to get him out of it.
Oh, do you think that
let that just be a reminder that Santa is magical, and that's why Santa can go down chimneys.
Oh, I never knew. That's astute of you to point out. I'm wondering if the crook will have to pay restitution for the repaired chimney that they had to break open.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah, body cam footage shows they had to call the fire department. Firefighters showed up disassembling the chimney brick by brick before pulling Mr. Langley to safety. He was brought to the hospital for evaluation due to his Santa antics. He has been charged with drug possession as well as other offenses tied to outstanding warrants. Police did arrest another person at home, although they said with far less theatrics. I still think the headline kills me. Man gets stuck in chimney while allegedly attempting to flee. No, I think that was allegedly attempting to flee.
No,
that looked like a pretty legitimate effort to get away from the cops.
Fleeing was happening in this situation. There's no doubt about it. Or else he just wedged himself in the chimney for no reason because it's a Sunday. Who knows? I don't know. But no, this fleeing happening. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
There was fleeing happening. Yep. So if you ever have a thing you see that you think should not be, just email it to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. That wraps up today's special holiday edition of...
Ho, 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 ho! This shouldn't be a thing! Ho, 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 ho!
And don't forget, guys, next Tuesday, we are having our cookie exchange. I am pulling mine from the wonderful We Energies holiday cookie book. Pressure's going to be on.
Okay.
This is Calvin's mom.
I'm making my own cookies. I'm not relying upon Calvin's mom, even though I've offered to pay her.
Have you decided on a recipe?
I've narrowed it down to 500 or 700 different options that the internet has for me. You'll be surprised.
You got four whole days. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News coming up next. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a simple way to reduce the burden on property taxpayers. Have the legislature go back to paying its fair share for special education.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Johnson predicts action today on yet another GOP spending plan to try to stave off a government shutdown. CBS's Siobhan Hughes on what Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries is saying.
He's pretty much drawn a line in the sand in terms of doing a debt ceiling deal as part of this spending package. And so whether or not Democrats provide support is very much an open question.
As the big holiday travel push quickens, the TSA's Christopher Mergia advises preparation for that airport security line.
Get your IDs out, get your boarding passes out, take things out of your pockets, put them in your carry-on bags.
Richard Allen's been sentenced to 130 years in prison for the killing of two teenage girls in Delphi, Indiana, back in 2017. Tony Leggett, the local sheriff.
A form of justice was served, but it does not bring Abby or Libby back. These families will live every day without two of the most important people in their lives.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.